This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
We are 10 minutes to the top of the hour. This is the Morning Run. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me, Joyce Goh. Now, you just heard the Finance Minister, Saudara YB Lim Guan Eng, back on November 12th, announcing the government's intent to take legal action against Goldman Sachs. And indeed, that was the news yesterday. The Attorney General of Malaysia indeed filing those criminal charges against that famous Wall Street bank. Now, since then, this morning, we have had plenty of developments in this saga. So Goldman has fired back at the charges. They've responded to it. And in this saga, I'm going to label this saga as the Goldman versus Goldman saga, if I can copyright that.
One pun, Han strikes back.
That's right.
Goldman versus Goldman. Yeah, well, the Malaysian government has filed criminal charges against Goldman Sachs over its involvement in the 1MDB scandal. And recent news that just came out this morning, Goldman fired back at the charges, alleging through a spokesperson, Michael Duvelli, that members of the former Malaysian government and 1MDB lied to them about how the money would be used. And the 1MDB gave written assurances to Goldman for each transaction that no intermediaries were involved. Interestingly, and Goldman also pointed out, at that time, 1MDB CEO and board reported to the Prime Minister at that time.
Now, the spokesperson for Goldman then said that the bank was not afforded the chance to be heard before the filing of the charges, and they will contest these allegations, and these charges do not affect Goldman's ability to conduct their current business globally. So that's the latest that we're getting on the front. Now, that was Reuters reporting on this, and we have had a piece by Tom Wright on the Wall Street Journal. And by the way, we'll be revisiting the time when Tom Wright was here on the Breakfast Grill in the coming days as well. But that aside, he has just written an opinion piece, adding his commentary to the matter. Right?
Yeah, and I think Tom Wright said that, the Wall Street Journal published this article this morning where Tom Wright alleged that, Goldman Group's push for Asian business caused it to speed past warning signs in its dealing with 1MDB. And in the article, he describes lax oversight of partners at the firm. And this was shown by internal documents and interviews with people involved in the transactions. And I think he saw notes for senior bankers at a 2012 Hong Kong meeting showing that Goldman's vetting of the bond deal for which it was charged yesterday, and little attention was paid to whether 1MDB was a bona fide vehicle or why it had no track record. I think the first meeting, the item was potential media and political scrutiny. The third meeting on the item was how much money Goldman would make, nearly $200 million, and whether the sum would become public. And they approved the deal anyways.
Right. So ultimately, what Goldman banked from this was $600 million US dollars. That's from those three bond deals, I believe. I mean, keep in mind the context, right? This was in the years following the global financial crisis. And, you've got this sovereign wealth fund from a tiny Southeast Asian nation that's generating $600 million for you guys, and they don't bother to ask. And what we are learning now from the Wall Street Journal is, despite all these warning signs, people are flagging stuff left, right, and center, they still pushed ahead. And then what we have learned in recent weeks was that you've got a blank fine himself, who apparently or allegedly met with Joe Lo himself. So these 1MDB dealings went all the way to the top, and looks like they were sanctioned from the top brass over there at Goldman Sachs.
Yeah, we also have news that, Tim Leisler, the former Goldman banker, he said that, his guilty plea entered early last month. He revealed that others at Goldman helped him conceal bribes used to retain business in Malaysia, and that the culture of secrecy in Goldman led him to conceal wrongdoing from the bank's compliance staff. So there's so many things coming out, and in this recent news of Goldman saying that, they were lied to, I think some people have questioned, is it so easy to lie to Goldman, who's a really, really big investment bank, right?
Right.
Really smart people join the bank. And of course, were there checks and balances?
So it's not just Tim Leisner who was named in the charges filed by the prosecutors. Of course, you've got the ex-1MDB general counsel, Jasmine Liu, and also good old Joe Lo. And then you've got Roger Ng. He's the former Goldman executive who was arrested here in KL last month. He is also expected to be charged charged for abetting Goldman International. That's one of the three subsidiaries under Goldman that are involved in these charges. So Roger Ng is expected to be charged later this week.
Yeah, I think a common theme between these three bonds is the allegation that Goldman International failed to declare Jolo's role as the operator and key intermediary of 1MDB. That's what's coming up from the news today, as well as I think we have AG Tommy Thomas saying that prosecutors will seek fines against the accused well above the $2.7 billion misappropriated and the $600 million paid to Goldman. And he also said that they will be seeking the maximum prison sentence of 10 years for all individuals accused of abetting Goldman.
Right. So how successful will Malaysia be in this legal challenge or this legal case? Well, hopefully more successful than Libya, because a couple of years ago, a wealth fund tied to Libya tried to do the same thing. So they filed a legal challenge to claim $1.2 billion in equity derivatives that was sold by Goldman. Right?
Goldman again.
Mm. But long story short, they failed in that, and that was the ruling by the UK Court of Appeal last year. So Libya apparently can't appeal anymore. So it's a done deal. So they lost on that case. Hopefully, Malaysia will be successful on that front. You know, if for nothing else, not just the $2.7 billion, not just the $600 million that we're trying to recover from Goldman, but it's also the reputational risks, right, to Malaysia. Because when you look at the commentary coming out of the Attorney General, he says that this strikes at the heart of the capital markets here in Malaysia, right? So, you know, there has to be this restoration of confidence. Justice needs to be seen to be done. And then ultimately, it's the integrity of the system here in Malaysia.
Yeah,
as well.
He said Goldman Sachs had broken laws at the heart of capital markets. Mm. It could also be capital markets globally, Han. I think maybe because, you know, the whole 1MDB thing, yep, which just went global, right? Mm. And as well as I think what's different with Malaysia's case is that, and 1MDB, is that the US Department of Justice also, I think they first filed the 1MDB related criminal charges on November 1st against former Goldman executives Tim Leisner and Roger Ng, as well as Joe Lo. So that's what's different with compared to the Libya case, I guess. And speaking about Joe Lo, he has issued a statement yesterday maintaining his innocence in light of these new charges. And in the statement, he reiterated that he will not submit to any jurisdiction where guilt has been predetermined by politics.
Well, that's a pretty familiar line. We have heard that same line from his side of a few times now.
Yeah, that's his messaging on this so far. Yeah.
Well, look, I mean, he can just come back here and then, you know, give his side of the story.
Story.
I like to think. But, well, anyways, we'll see how this develops, and we'll certainly be keeping you guys posted on further developments in this 1MDB saga and, of course, in the Goldman versus Goldman case. All right.
Yes.
With the little time that we have left, let's just give you some updates on a couple of stories that we were talking about on yesterday's programs. You know, Malaysia's investments overseas. Let's start with IHH and their investment into Fortis in India. So there's renewed commitment by IHH, right?
So in a memo to staff yesterday, IHH's MD and CEO, Dr. Tan Si Ling, said that the group remains committed to its investment in Fortis Healthcare in India, despite the new challenges that they are facing to acquire their controlling stake in Fortis. I think they're seeking some legal advice on the matter.
Yeah, because the question marks about, you know, now that IHH has a new majority shareholder, now would this still be a priority? Mm-hmm. They are now saying yes. Also, when it comes to the Battersea Phase 2 project over there in London, we spoke about this. We had the breaking news on yesterday's program. So the EPF has now reassured that they are going to see this through despite the restructuring at the ownership level. So if we succeed, we would have succeeded where other developers, you know, others have failed when it comes to reviving the Battersea project. All right, we're coming up to the 9 a.m. news bulletin, and after that, we'll take a look at some live numbers on the local bourse. So stay tuned right here to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.